When should you seriously suggest maybe to your partner that they should get their eyes checked? It's our Monday Expert feature and we're learning all about eyes today. If you've got a question, lots of you have been getting in touch actually about this, about glasses, about eyesight, about eye conditions. 2101 to get in touch with us in the studio here. Vice President of the New Zealand Association of Optometrists, Hayden Trainer, is with us now to answer all of our questions, hopefully. Kia ora, Hayden. Thanks for being with us today.
Kia ora, Susie. Thanks for having me.
Now, lots of people do develop problems with their eyesight. I'm sitting here wearing glasses, which I have to do for, you know, computer work and that kind of thing. Looking across to some of the other people who are also in the studio here with us. Yep, we've got, of three of us, we've got 2/3 of us wearing glasses. So it's pretty common, isn't it, that people have to do things to help their sight?
I'd argue that everybody at some stage has problems with their eyesight. So even people have had perfect vision there throughout their whole life. Mid-40s, 50s, that reading starts to get harder and harder, and that's just like the hair going grey, that it happens to the best of us. We can fight it, but it's coming for us.
Yeah, and what is it about eyes? Is it just that kind of thing where, like with various other bits of your body, you know, things are not as good as you get older? Are we sort of speeding up our eyes deteriorating with lifestyle at all?
From that reading perspective, no. That is just something that happens, that inside the eye, the lens of the eye just slowly grows throughout your whole life. It's getting bigger and bigger. And it really, it's about your late 40s, 50s that it reaches that point, that's how long your arms are. And that's where the reading starts getting harder. So that's not influenced on how much cell phone time or computer use that you're having, whether you're being really good about reading or not. The other end of the scale with kids and short-sightedness, definitely lifestyle changes and modern living, we are seeing more changes with eyes in kids in younger ages.
Okay. So tell us, I suppose just outline for us, because it is fascinating, how does the eye actually work?
Where we start, right?
How do we see stuff?
Yeah. Well, the eye, best way to think of it is the eye is like a camera. Yeah, it's got a whole bunch of lenses at the front for focusing things, and there's a film at the back that turns that light into electrical signals. The difference is between an old traditional camera, the eye is probably more like a modern digital camera in that it needs to be, it's not the eye that does the seeing. It just collects the information. So the eye is plugged into the brain. So it's more like a digital camera plugged into a computer that actually turns that light into what we see. So while the eyes are collecting all the information, it's our brain that's doing the seeing.
Okay. So what are some of the good things that we can do to help our eyesight? I suppose I have to ask you the question about carrots. Do they really help our eyes, and do they help us see in the dark?
Carrots, it's one of those fantastic urban legends. The whole urban legend of carrots, short answer is no, carrots do nothing. So a vitamin A deficiency, yes, you get night blindness, and that affects your ability to see in the dark. The carrot myth came about in World War II, where the Allies had invented radar, didn't want other people to know, and so they spread the rumour that they were feeding their pilots more carrots so they could see better in the dark, whereas the reality was they had invented radar and could see things further.
I have always wondered where that came from.
Yeah,
that is fascinating.
Fantastic, isn't it?
What a great story.
Yeah.
But I guess there are definitely some things we can do that help our eyes.
Yeah, so there's definitely things that are better. Look, one of the eye diseases we do see in later life is macular degeneration, where there's build-ups in the eyes due to, and we have used antioxidants and things to help protect the eyes. Then the best things for eating for that are, it's actually the dark leafy greens, the spinach, the kale, that have got the chemicals that the eyes need. Capsicums. Now, interestingly, orange capsicums are better than red capsicums or yellow capsicums. So,
do you know why?
Again, just that the chemicals that are within it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there is a little bit of an orange thing going on there with the carrots and the orange capsicum. Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything that's really bad for us to do for our eyes?
So smoking, definitely. Those chemicals build up in the eyes, and that is really bad. Diabetes is especially really hard on the eye, the blood sugar going up and down. We know that, again, going back to kind of kids and things like that, we know that kids who spend more time outside, just the light and outdoor exposure is really good for the eyes. So getting that outside time is vitally important for kids.
Mm. Yeah. You hear a lot about getting the light to sort of hit the back of your eye to do with circadian rhythm and that kind of thing. So clearly they're pretty complex, and there's a lot of interplay with other systems in the body that our eyes are sort of helping us to decode things.
Yeah, completely. Completely, yeah.
So how do you recognise, especially in small children, how do you recognise if there is a problem with their eyes and whether something needs to be checked out?
Very young children, the main things we worry about are the eyes straight and working together. So if you see a child with a cross-eyed, that's a sign that they need to be checked out very quickly. If you see, if you take a photo of a child, it's less so with modern cameras, but still, if you get that, you know, when you take a photo, you get that kind of red eye flash.
Yeah.
If you see that, you take a photo with a child and you've got the red eye flash in one eye but not the other eye, that can be a sign that there's a serious issue in a child's eyes. And we're talking about little babies and things like that. Going into older kids, we worry more about that short-sightedness kicking in, that they're getting distracted in class, they're having to sit further up in the class, not being able to see the board. Headaches at the front of the head are really bad. Kind of a sign that the eyes are working and really stressed. That goes for any age, actually.
Yeah, what are some of the signs then, maybe apart from headaches, that you would expect to see in adults if there's perhaps something that needs checking out with their vision?
So tired eyes, blurry vision, headaches. Really, anybody over the age of 40 should be getting their eyes tested every 2 to 3 years, regardless. One of the really big eye diseases we worry about is glaucoma. And this interview is very timely. March is Glaucoma Awareness Month. I encourage anybody who wants to know more about glaucoma, then go to glaucoma.org.nz and learn all about it. But one of the things we worry about with glaucoma is there isn't any signs or symptoms, that the pressure building up in somebody's eyes can happen at any age, and typically as you get older, but it can happen at any age. And the damage that you don't notice that damage going on. So going and getting them checked is really important.
Yeah, I've had a question in on 2101 on text to us here at Afternoons about glaucoma, saying it's specifically asking about glaucoma in the elderly, but can glaucoma be cured, is the question.
Short answer, no. glaucoma can be managed in the same way that once you become diabetic, high blood pressure, a lot of our other health conditions, once you know that it's there, it can be managed through medication, surgeries, treatments and things. The reality is with all of these things, it's the not knowing and kind of living your life kind of oblivious to something going on in the background. That's the real danger.
So what sort of things, like you're saying, anyone over 40 should be getting an eye test every sort of 2 or 3 years. Are there any specific things, if you have any kind of specific accidents or if anything happens to you, that you should necessarily be, you know, perhaps as part of being checked out, having an eye check done?
It's always good to get your eyes checked following concussions. That can have an effect on just how the eyes work together. Little head knocks and things like that can just throw some of the nerves and muscles and the balance of the eyes, that you kind of feel like you're still doing okay.
And this is with...
You have to work a bit harder together.
Yeah, when you're saying getting yourself checked out after a concussion, I mean, you might be checked by a doctor anyway, but are you thinking you should also go to an optometrist and have a specific check done there too?
Yeah. That's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the ways that they kind of check, you see that the rugby players go off for their... HIAs and head injury assessments. Part of that is they are checking how the eyes move together as part of that assessment.
Okay. One of the things that you get offered at eye checks now, and you sometimes have to pay a bit more for it, is for specific sort of pictures of the back of your eye and that kind of thing. Is that worth doing?
They're awesome. Sorry, it's an optometrist. The ability to do three, basically they're mini CT scans of the eyes, and they've really come in the last 10 years, and they've absolutely changed the game on our ability to, because when we look inside the eye, every time you do an eye check, you look inside the eye and you're peering through this little pupil and you can see what's at all the nerves and the veins at the back of the eye. But the modern scans now scan the layers underneath it. You can see quite deep into the eye. You can create cross sections. But one of the coolest things about it is it gives you measurements that you can then compare. It gives you these wonderful baselines. And that's, as I say, really encourage people to get that, even just the initial eye test done in your 40s, just to, everybody's eyes are different. And so it's kind of building up this picture of what's normal for you. So then if further down the track, something pops up, yeah, you're not too sure what's going on, you can go back and say, well, this is how you were and this is how you are today. Yeah, it's all still the same. Or no, we've got this little change here. We need to pay closer attention to that.
I had another question in from a listener about sort of how confident can you be that an eye test is accurate, especially if you've been getting your eyes checked regularly, maybe every 2 to 3 years, but you get quite a sudden change or sudden deterioration in your eyes?
That's a good question, actually. This is, I think, a lot of people going and getting their eyes tested. Part of the checking the vision, the working out what's the best lens for somebody, what gives you the clearest vision. There's a little bit of a subjective, we add a lens, does this make things clearer? Does it make things worse? And as soon as you add that, people worry about, am I giving the right answer? Am I steering the optometrist down the wrong path? And the reality is there is always a little bit of variability in, but from test to test. But that comes from what I was saying. It's not the eye. You'd think it'd be very black and white, that this is the perfect lens for you and this is the only lens that will get you to see perfectly clearly. But because it's not the eye that's doing the seeing, it's the brain interpreting the images, you're going to get a little bit of variation from time to time. That's normal. If you see a sudden change and there's all of a sudden there's a big increase, that's something that needs to be paid attention to, definitely.
Something that I always find a little bit curious, this is speaking from my own experience of having eye tests and wearing glasses, is that after my eyes initially started deteriorating, there was a period where they started getting better and my prescription was less strong. Is that common?
Yeah, it can happen. Yeah. Their eyes do go through this little pattern. So most people's eyes, if they're going to get worse for the distance, your teens, maybe into early 20s, it'll change. Then through your 20s, 30s, things tend to be very stable. Not a lot happens. 40s, the reading starts getting a bit harder through to 60s. And then, yeah. And it's because what causes that trouble of the reading getting harder is you've got this physical growing inside your eye. And so there are physical changes within the eyes that cause prescriptions to go up and down. And what happens actually for everybody, again, this is where we can't hold back the sands of time, that thickening inside the eye eventually gets thicker and thicker and thicker, and everybody at some stage in the eye turns into a cataract. And so everybody at some stage, most people, it's their 70s, 80s, some younger, some older, they need an operation to have that lens removed. But as that lens thickens up and changes, yeah, it can do funny things. It'll send some people short-sighted, it'll send some people long-sighted. One eye first and not the other, which you'd think would be pretty symmetrical, but
There's quite a few questions actually on cataracts. I might ask you those now. This one's in from Liz. She says she's 62 and she has cataracts. She's looking at getting the lens replacement for both eyes. She says the condition at this stage means that she sees okay with glasses, but it's double or even triple vision when not using glasses and not really able to make out detail. So I guess the question is, does Liz wait until her sight is worse, or is it better to get it done sooner? What do you think?
Good question. So everybody's going to develop a cataract at some stage. So that operation for most people is going to happen regardless. Is there something to be said for having it done when you're a little bit younger? For surgery, you're going to bounce back a little bit easier. Is the surgery going to be a little bit easier for the surgeon? Yep, there's definitely merits in that. Eyes are a very precious and sensitive thing. Sometimes there's a little bit of a balance of risks versus benefits, that all surgery carries a small degree of risk. And if you're at a stage where having the surgery done would make things a little bit better, but no, a big change, I can do pretty good with glasses. Some people will make that decision if it's not worth the risk. Other people really, really struggle with glasses, and the option of being able to not use them if it can be removed via surgery, it will be a big thing for them.
And with cataracts, if you have the surgery, is that something that, you know, it's a kind of a one and done, or is it the sort of thing that people potentially have to have redone?
No. When they do the surgery, they remove that lens from the eye and replace it with an artificial lens, and that lens lasts longer than you will. It's there forever. Yeah.
Okay.
So most people, once it's done, it's done.
Okay. Someone else has asked, does cataract replacement increase the risk of macular degeneration?
No, I'm not aware of any evidence of that. I wouldn't. Having macular degeneration certainly wouldn't be a reason not to have cataract surgery done.
Okay. Another question, and this one's from Kaz in Gisburn. She says, I have a floater in my eye. What is the cause? And specifically, Kaz is asking if there's a natural healing method to cure, but yeah, what are they and what do you do about them?
So when I described the eye as being like a camera with lenses at the front and a film at the back, the difference between the eye and a camera is that where a camera can just be empty, our eye needs something in the middle to fill up that space. And we're born with a jelly that sits in that middle of the eye, just something clear and squishy that just kind of keeps the eye round, and it just sits there our whole life and really doesn't do anything. It has little fibres and stuff, and that's why when you look up at a blue sky, you can see little things moving around. And that's the little fibres of that jelly just shifting as your eye moves. That jelly does degenerate over time. Again, it's that horrible ageing thing that the fibres start to clump up a little bit, they start to move around, and in particular the jelly kind of shrinks up and it'll pull away from the back of the eye, and it'll take a little bit of tissue which will then free float in the middle of your vision. And that's a very normal, natural change. When it first happens, we're really, really aware of it because it's new and because it moves. There's all sorts of stuff inside the eye, there's veins and all sorts, but because they sit still, we really don't see them. The brain filters them out, but because this new floater moves around, we're really, really conscious of it. But time and a bit of gravity, it'll move to a different spot. The brain will kind of get used to it, kind of get bored of paying attention to that because it's seen it too much. So while it'll never go away, for most people, it will just fade over time, and they'll learn to ignore it.
Yeah, so you kind of stop seeing them. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
It's our Monday Expert feature on Afternoons here on RNZ National. It's Susie Ferguson in for Jesse Mulligan, and we're talking with Vice President of the New Zealand Association of Optometrists, Hayden Trainor. Lots and lots of people are getting in touch with questions about eyes. It's really getting people exercised and going. This is an interesting one. Someone is asking about sunscreen and if sunscreen is something that we need to be careful about applying near our eyes because the chemicals in it.
Not one I've come across before. Certainly it'll sting if it gets in the eye. It's not pleasant. but it won't cause any damage.
Yeah. Also, a lot of people getting in touch about easy readers, you know, because obviously glasses are pretty expensive to buy, don't I know it? I just spent a bunch of money on getting new glasses recently. But if you can pick up a pair of easy readers, are you just as well to do that if they're kind of working for you?
Great question. So because that reading gets harder for everybody, for a lot of people, cheap, over-the-counter, ready-made reading glasses will work really well for their close-up. What we worry about... So, one, using them inappropriately won't cause any stress or damage. There's no way you can hurt your eyes, damage your eyes anyway by using glasses that aren't quite right for you. Might make the eyes a bit tired. Again, might make the eyes a bit headachy. There's two things that we as optometrists, we would kind of really worry about is, if people are just right, I can go and buy glasses off the counter and I just do that, and they don't get their eyes tested for all the other things because they're worried about, oh, I'm going to go and they might try and sell me some other glasses. That's not good. So somebody turning up for their very first eye test when they're 70 with a serious eye problem because they've just been using ready-made glasses for the last 30 years, that's not good. So I'd still encourage people, go get their eyes tested. And most optometrists will tell you, look, if it's appropriate, ready-made glasses will be fine for you. The other one is it depends on how much you use them and for what. So for short little bursts, I need to check a text on my phone, I've got a needle to thread, I want to check the emails on the computer, I pop my reading glasses on for that, that's absolutely fine. If you're going to spend the whole day stuck in front of a computer screen, you probably want something that's more accurate. I like to use the analogy of you can get pretty cheap sports shoes from a lot of places now, and for day-to-day walking around and doing stuff, they're absolutely fine. But if you're going to start training for a half marathon and do lots and lots of running, you probably want to go and get yourself some decent running shoes.
And thinking about computer work, which of course so many of us are using glasses for these days, is it worth getting blue light filters, coatings, or special glasses if you're using or if you're doing a lot of screen work?
The jury's a little bit out still as to the blue light thing. Certainly all of the modern LEDs that on our phones, on computers, on overhead lighting do give off a lot of blue light, which is near to UV on the light spectrum. So we know UV light is bad. Blue light, our eyes don't really use for detail seeing, and it is quite a high energy light. And there is some suggestions and kind of laboratory studies that if your eye is compromised in any way, that too much blue light can damage the eyes. A lot of it, when glasses are made, you put a coating on a lens to kind of help them perform better. If you're going to be outside a lot, then you want to have a UV coating on it to protect your eyes. If you're going to be spending it, I only use these when I'm in front of a computer screen, but I am in front of a computer for 8 to 10 hours a day, it makes sense to have a more of a blue light filter than a UV filter, for what you're using them.
Why is it when you get new glasses, the optometrist will sometimes say to you, and this feels counterintuitive to me, you might get headaches using your new glasses?
Different people adapt to different glasses and strengths in different ways. Some people, if you're used to what you had before and their eyes have been kind of working and straining, they won't necessarily instantly relax to a new prescription. Some people's eyes will react and adjust very, very quickly. Some will take longer. There's a really famous Harvard study where they gave people glasses that turned the whole world upside down. And they made these people wear the glasses all the time, and the whole world was just completely, completely flipped. Within 2 weeks, half the people, their brain had flipped the world back over. By 4 weeks, everybody had flipped their the world back the right way through these glasses. The brain had adjusted to it, which is just remarkable.
That is
the brain
amazing.
Was able to do it.
Yeah.
But the point of it was that some people adjusted really, really quickly. Some people took a lot longer, but they all got there in the end. And so sometimes when we go, right, here's a brand new pair of glasses, these are going to make you see better, but they're different and that's not how the brain's used to seeing things, it will feel a bit strange. But given time, the brain's amazing and it should usually adjust.
That's an absolutely amazing experiment. Great to know about something like that.
Yeah.
What about contact lenses versus glasses? Are there any people that aren't able to use contacts or that they wouldn't be recommended for?
Most people are pretty good with contact lenses. Most prescriptions can be covered with contact lenses. A lot of the time it's a really just a personal thing. Some people, the idea of putting something in their eye and being relaxed about doing that themselves is a big deal. And other people, it's no big thing. One of the interesting things with kids these days, as I say, we're seeing more short-sightedness in kids, is we're starting to use a different type of lens where almost like a retainer for teeth. You put a contact lens, a hard contact lens in before the child goes to sleep, and they sleep in the lens, and they take the lens out before in the morning, and then they don't need glasses or any real contacts at all during the day. And that fixes the vision but also works to kind of prevent the short-sightedness. And we've been doing those with younger and younger kids, like 9 and 10-year-olds, and they're amazing. And just, I think, once that adaptability is there, once there's a mental kind of thing, it's amazing how we'll manage.
Is that something that adults might be able to
use as well? It can
work
for adults too, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Astonishing.
Yeah.
A quick word actually on laser eye surgery. Of course, to sort of do away with glasses pretty much altogether often for people. How do you know if it's for you?
First thing with laser surgery is you want to make sure you're in that kind of stable time of your life, that your eyes aren't still changing. So we'd never recommend laser surgery for, say, somebody 15, 16 years old. But if you're in your 20s and your eyes haven't changed for 3-4 years, can work really, really well. If the prescription's too high or a bit funny, but for a lot of people it can work really well. But then, just with the knowledge that it's still not going to stop that once you hit your 40s, 50s, that reading's still going to get harder. You probably need glasses later on.
So that
reading.
Yeah, so that's still possibly coming down the track at you.
Yep.
Also, of course, the pandemic. Has there been any kind of effect of COVID on our eyes or our eyesight?
Not specifically on eyes or eyesight in adults. Again, kids, a lot more time inside, more device time. There definitely has, but it's contributed to more short-sightedness in children. Yeah. While we don't have great evidence in New Zealand, there's a real issue with kind of a scarcity of data on New Zealand eyes and eye conditions. There's definitely overseas evidence.
Always good to get them outside. Look, thank you so much for coming into the studio and for your time
today.
Hayden Trainor there, fascinating conversation with him, for Vice President of the New Zealand Association of Optometrists, our Monday expert feature. Stick with us. You're with RNZ National.